Yeah.
Right? I'm talking about the real culture. I mean, yeah. Today's world, today, even the Iranian, you know, the Arab culture is being very much tempered upon, right? And it's very much influenced by the Western culture. But if you go back to old cultures, these cultures are closer to Islamic values and principles, right? I mean, at the end, if you look at the history of human cultures, right, you realize that certain cultures were very much close to religion, right? For example, the Arab culture, right? The Arab culture, because it's so religion for numerous centuries, right, across thousand centuries, right, this culture has been living with religion, with Islam, right? So the kind of the culture was very much influenced by the religion in the way that at the end, there's a lot of parallel and a lot of common points in it. Now, I'm not saying that the Arab culture is exactly the Islamic culture. Not at all.
Sorry to interrupt you. Thank you so much, Brother Mundat. Let's take a short break over here.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to your audience, and we're talking with Brother Mehdad.
You see, take it this way, that Islam has guidelines and principles. Yes. Okay? These guidelines and principles are much easier to adapt them in a culture like the old Arab culture or the old Iranian culture or the old Asian culture.
True.
And it's very hard, extremely hard to adapt it in a Western culture. The reason being is that the Western culture is a manifestation of an ideology that's very much against Islam.
Yeah, completely opposite of it.
Whilst the Iranian or Arab or old Asian culture, they're based on ideology that has a lot of similarities with the Islamic ideology.
True that, yeah.
Put it this way, right? So, for example, let me give you a quick example of family life, right? To adopt the guidelines that Islam says about family life, it's very easy to adopt it in an Asian culture.
True.
Because if you look at Asian, you look at Pakistanis, Indians, Asians, the family relation is very tight. Brothers and sisters are very close to one another. Parents and children are very close to one another. The respect they have for elders, for their grandparents, it's very easy. It's very normal. It's part of the culture, right?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good thing.
And when you want to bring Islamic values to it, you realize that it's very easy.
Yeah.
Right? But now you come to Western culture, where parents turn 50 and you send them into a home, right? Children turn 18, they want to move out from the house straight away.
That's really unfortunate.
Brothers go their own way, sisters go their own way.
Yeah.
Family relations is very, very weak. In that culture, you want to adopt Islamic values that are related to family life. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
You have to somehow cut yourself from the culture to be able to apply the Islamic values and principles.
Yeah.
So this is the point, that you realize that certain cultures are far from Islamic values, certain cultures are closer to Islamic values.
True.
Now, the point is that we're not saying that you have to change cultures. We're just saying that you adopt the Islamic culture, and you realize that when you adopt the Islamic values and principles, the culture story has to change. And this is why you realize that Muslims living in the West, their culture is very much different, and they can't really feel at home in the West. I mean, a lot of the youths, right, when they want, and this is fundamental, when they want to live in the West, okay, they tell you, either I become completely Western, and by that I'll have to abandon a lot of my Islamic values and principles, or if I want to adopt values and principles of Islam, I'll be kind of counted as a outsider. And this is where the whole discussion of integration comes in, right? Integration is what? It's saying that integration in the West means what? That abandon your values and principles, okay? And adopt the values and principles that we have in the West. And by doing so, you're bound to lose your religion. And this is why most new generations of youth, when they integrate within the Western culture, Western civilization, they have to sacrifice Islamic values and principles, and they lose their religion, or they at least very much weaken their Islamic values and principles.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Brother Mundat. Let's take a short break over here.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back to your audience, and we're talking with Brother Mehdad. So, Brother Mullah, how about people living in the West? You know, they have dressing, in terms of dressing and in terms of following any culture. So, they be moderate, like keeping the Islamic principles in their mind.
Yeah. Before the break, we talked about being counted as outsiders in the Western culture if you want to adopt all the Islamic values and principles. Now, I'd like to mention a very important point over here, is that I'm not saying, and nor am I promoting by any means, that we should not integrate within the community, right? Or we should be going to ghettos and create our own society within a big society. Uh-huh. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that Muslims should be doing that at all in the West, right? I'm just explaining a natural reaction, natural phenomena that is happening in the West. Mm-hmm. And that's very natural for it to happen. And if you talk to any person who has awareness of these things, they'll tell you, it's a natural process. I can see it happening in the West.
Sure.
Right? What we need to understand is that we need to play a balance whereby at the same time that we're integrating, at the same time where that we are adopting a Western culture as much as we can, we are also trying to ensure that those things that we're adopting are not going against Islamic values and principles. Mm-hmm. And that we're teaching our children the same thing as well. By maintaining a balance between not taking ourselves as outsiders, but at the same time, abiding by values and principles that are Islamic. Now, the key is how to do this. This is very, very difficult for sure. Right?
It's all about managing.
But it's possible. It's not impossible. And definitely we can do it. I'm giving one very good and very strong solution is to strengthen the Muslim communities, Muslim centers.
Yeah.
Right? The stronger our centers become, right, and the interaction and the events and the different occasions that happen within the community center, this creates a source of culture, a source of knowledge, a source of guidance, a source of really bringing people together, okay, even from different cultures, like promote these mosques to be a place where even converts, for example, people who from different cultures, so whether they're Arabs or they're British or they're Americans or they're Pakistanis or they're Yemenis or they're Ecuadorian or they're Vietnamese, for example, whatever whatever background they're from, they all come together and the common point becomes Islamic guidelines and principles, right?
Uh-huh,
becomes
true,
Islam.
Yeah. That's right.
When that happens, then it kind of like removes people from their cultures and brings about this religion, basically, which is the key point. And this is one way to really strengthen this and realize that even in a Western society, even in a Western civilization, even in a Western culture, even though we are living in a Western culture, and we're very much abiding by all those Western things that Western cultures that people do. We speak like that, we eat like that, our thinking and our behavior and our attitude a lot of times is Western in the sense. But we try as much as we can to increase our knowledge about Islam, our values and principles are Islamic, and kind of like adopt this basically as much as we can. And after that, you don't become scared of becoming outwards or counted as an outwarder away from the society, because you're not away from the society. You still have this culture, but you've maintained your principles, and this is probably the most important key.
Thanks so much, Brother Mehdad, and thank you so much, dear audience, for staying with us. In this program, we discuss about the different cultures, we discuss about the Western culture, and also we discuss about the Arab and the Islamic culture. And also we discuss how people living in the West can abide to the Islamic principles. So once again, thank you so much, Brother Mehdad, and audience, thank you so much as well. Thank you for joining us on the program, and if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, farstoday.com. Fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. I'm Atta, the host of the program. This series of the program Viewpoints is produced by Brother Mahmoud. An analysis on the thoughts and most important speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two guest speakers and panelists, religious experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Brother Ali Alevian. Sayyid Mohsen, Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum Assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. And Brother Ali Alevian, Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum Assalam, and thank you for having me here.
So I again thank you for accepting our invitation to this program, Viewpoints. Okay, let's get to the main topic for today as elaborated by Ayatollah Khamenei, Supreme Leader of Iran, a term which is very much controversial, but we want to clarify it for today, and that is, in Farsi we say Islam-e-Nab-e-Muhammadi or the pure Muhammadan Islam. Brother Ali Alevian, some people say Islam-e-Nab-e-Muhammadi or pure Muhammadan Islam must not have, we can say, zawaid or the additions to that. This is the pure Muhammadan Islam. The obligations, and that's all. Is it the true definition of Muhammadan Islam?
I told you, whatever definition that we want to make for this concept of pure Muhammadan Islam should be based on Quran.
Okay.
Look, Quran is a good actually criteria for us. In this criteria, we have to actually base everything. We have to level everything with the teachings of Quran. If even this statement is based on the Quran, we accept it. Mm-hmm. If Quran doesn't want us to, for example, be ready for the martyrdom, and as you said that we have to just focus on whatever are the principles, then their word is true.
Of course, this is my opinion. This is a
what you said, right, mentioned actually.
Yeah, I'm just hosting the program. But that's right. Okay, let's go for that.
So we have a base.
Okay.
Our base is Quran. Mm-hmm. We see in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that for the sake of God, we are ready even to sacrifice our lives. Mm-hmm. But in the concept that you actually mentioned, and actually you were the narrator of this quote.
Yeah, that's right. No, this is a criticism, you know?
No, it's good.
Okay, that's
so we have our criteria, as I said.
Okay.
In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, in this Islam that we are talking about, we are ready to sacrifice our lives for it. This Islam that we are talking about is the hope, is the final hope of the oppressed and the deprived. And this Islam that you are talking about is the enemy of the oppressors and the tyrants, whoever and wherever they are.
Sorry, a question is this. When we say it is the final hope of the oppressed, we are not talking about the oppressed only in the Muslim lands, isn't it?
Everywhere.
It's humanity and
for the humanity,
se.
Brother. Okay, for the humanity. Good. Look, the difference that we in our discussion is that with other, for example, religions and the followers of religions, we are not necessarily talking about Muslims and and most specifically about Shias. No. Mm-hmm. Even Islam talks about the lives of the people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, if you save a life, it doesn't say the life of a Shia or the life of a Sunni or the life of, for example, a Muslim. If you save a life, it is as if you have saved the life of the whole world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the humanity. And the word that we are talking about is about the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually defines it for us, for the whole human beings.
That's right.
The Islam that we are talking about is actually it looks for the independence of the nations and independence of people and human beings.
Okay.
Is it the same that is there in their worldview? If it is okay, if it is the same, okay, we are in the same boat. The Islam that we are talking about actually is the knows the inseparation of religion and state. Our religion is exactly as our politics. In fact, the leader of the Islamic Ummah...
It means that our politics must be like our religion, isn't it?
Both? Both sides.
I mean, the religion is not... No, when you say is. It is a fact. But must be or must resemble. You mean the politics that we have must resemble Islam and Abu Muhammadi and the guidelines over
there? No, I want to tell you, our religion is as our politics.
Okay.
It means even our politics is as our religion.
Okay.
Because we are not going to tell lies to the world. Because a Muslim, look at the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was at the same time, he was the leader of the Islamic Ummah. He was the political leader of that Ummah as well.
That's right.
Actually, his policies were Islamic and his Islam was political. Right.
Shall I get to Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi now? Thank you very much. It was very kind of you, Brother Ali Alivian. So that's right. Up to now, we talked about the oppressed and oppressors, and also we can say jihad and shahada, and the martyrdom, and also we can say the independence of the nations. But justice and equality across the world is another goal pursued by Islam and Nabi Muhammadi, or the pure Muhammadan Islam. What is it, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, and how?
Well, obviously, we know that this is the main thing that Islam basically brought, and from the principles that we believe, being a Shia, we believe that Allah is one.
That's right.
The second is Allah is just.
Mm-hmm.
Because we believe on the justice of Allah, and Allah is just, and on the same basis, He has basically created the hell and heaven. So on this basis, obviously, this world, the people who are living in this world, they should live according to the justice. And this justice is one of the main parts that obviously, that is one of the main objectives of sending the Prophet, that he should go and he should build a government or a governance on the basis of justice.
That's
and
right.
This is one of the main goals of the Prophets.
Okay.
Obviously, wherever we see injustice, there we mention that there is one oppressor and one is oppressed. Otherwise, if there was justice, we couldn't say like one is oppressor and another is oppressed.
Okay.
In the world, the thing that which we lack today is the same concept of justice.
Mm-hmm.
We see that these superpowers, they do not allow, for example, the Iraqis to breathe. They have their knees on their neck. They have their knees on the neck of the Syrian people. They do not allow them to breathe. They're not allowing the Yemeni people to breathe. They're not allowing the Palestinians to breathe. They even don't allow their own people who have the American passports, either they're black or maybe they're from other race, to breathe on the basis of injustice.
They didn't let George Floyd to breathe. Yeah. I can't breathe. Mm. Black Lives Matter.
They don't allow the Iranians to breathe, yeah, because with the knees of sanctions, yeah, they're trying to, yeah, like stop them from
hard
breathing.
Sanctions.
Yes, but obviously Iranian might have a hard neck, so that's why
it's very much difficult, yeah, and we are bearing that. But you know, it's difficult.
But,
that's
but
right.
the point is, we see this injustice all around the world.
Okay,
the people, the nations who see such a country or such a government who is oppressing all the countries,
yes,
in the world,
yes,
and who tries to veto his vote in the UNO,
yeah,
sometimes,
yeah,
these countries, they are not opposing against him. And this is injustice. You should raise your voice. And if you raise your voice, for example, like Venezuela, if they raise their voice, they have the same sanctions as the Iran or other countries they do have.
Okay.
So the point here is the Islam, the pure Muhammadan Islam is talking about the justice. Everyone has the right to live freely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us free. He has created us as a free man,
yes, right,
not as a slave.
That's right.
So even the countries, the governments, as brother mentioned, the pure Muhammadan Islam mentions that the governments, they should be independent. And from all the sanctions that they have, no one can oppose any sanctions. Because when Islam is talking about when Islam is saying like there is no force in Islam,
okay, that's right,
obviously a government cannot force anyone else,
mm-hmm,
any other government,
okay,
to follow him or to be from his allies or not to be. Yeah. And no one can use anyone for his own, for his own benefit.
That's right.
Everyone has a right to live.
Yeah.
So basically, this justice is very important.
Yeah.
And if we can, obviously, even in the Quran we have this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the 12th infallible Imam, on which all the Muslims, they believe, he says that we're going to bring him, and then we're going to make this land, we're going to fill this land with justice. The promise of Allah regarding the Imam Mahdi is that this land will be filled with the justice as it is filled with injustice in your time. Like in our time, this land is filled with injustice. So the situation will change when Imam Mahdi, inshallah, will come.
Looking for justice is very much difficult. And even at the advent of Islam, we did not have it, brother. The justice that we are talking about,
it was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Yeah, that was,
yes,
but
and obviously after that, that's what we're referring to in the,
yeah,
beginning of the, I think, previous program.
Yes,
we defined the pure Muhammadan Islam.
Yeah,
and in that we said the pure Muhammadan Islam is the Islam which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, and after that it went to Imam Ali,
yes,
and from Imam Ali onward.
Yeah.
So obviously after the death of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
mm-hmm,
we see that this pure Muhammadan Islam,
mm-hmm,
wasn't followed purely, and
yeah,
there were some
impurities,
yes,
inserted.
There were some
that,
impurities,
right,
and
okay,
it leads after 50 years to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yeah.
And after that, obviously, it's leading to the situation in which today we are.
Mm-hmm.
So this injustice that we see in the world is because we forgot to follow the pure Muhammadan Islam, and we need to go back to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
We need to follow the same religion, same pure Muhammadan Islam, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought, in order to have,
okay,
the unity amongst,
that's
the Muslim,
right,
ummah,
mm-hmm,
in order to have the justice in the world.
Yes, sure. Thank you very much. Brother Ali Alavian, some people, we can say, and also Rahbar coined this term as the American Islam.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between the American or the British Islam? And is it at all right, I'm asking a question,
yeah,
to, for example, bring a nationality by the Islam and use it as an adjective, say the American Islam and the pure Muhammadan Islam, and what are they?
Actually, whatever is against or in the opposing point of,
okay,
the pure Muhammadan Islam is known as, for example, American Islam or British Islam. So why the leader of the Islamic Ummah, and even Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, called the opposing point, the opposite point as the American Islam, is because they have a drastic difference with whatever we have defined and this criterion that we have defined for our Islam. In American Islam, that because it is being supported, all those who believe in such a worldview are backed and supported by America, That's why they are called American Islam. And what is it? Look, in the Islam world, those who are indifferent towards, for example, the whatever is going on the Muslims, they are being supported by America. They are indifferent. For example, whatever is going on in Yemen, some of the Muslim countries are silent.
Sorry, a question is that I want to pose it. Are the Muslims themselves following Islam and Nabi Muhammadi? That we can say they have afflicted besides such problems.
When we're talking about pure Muhammad Islam, is not, for example, a new religion that
we
want to practice.
I know, but are they really following pure?
We want to tell our brothers and sisters in faith that this kind of look at Islam is another different and specific kind of look to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is based on, if it is logically based on what the Quran teaches us, so why shouldn't we all actually come across and actually adhere to that Islam?
So thank you very much, both of you, for your elaboration on the concept of your Muhammad and Islam. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And Brother Ali Alevian, thank you very much too, brother.
Thanks to you, brother.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, I'm the host of the program Viewpoints, Ata, and this series of the programs was produced by Brother Mahmoud. Visit our website, parstree.com/Ian Call of Islam page, also our YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi Amanullah.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they are guiding me through. Whenever I feel down, you can lift me up, turning my life around with your love. No matter how rough it gets, I can wear a smile, 'cause your mercy never dries. Yeah.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على
محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This is حبيب الله فسيهزاده with the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I am thankful to Allah Almighty that has given us again a chance to come to the radio station and share the next lesson or the next lessons of the Let's Recite the Holy Quran with you, respected Muslim brothers and sisters. Inshallah, I hope that this series of lessons help you, inshallah, in order to be skillful and fluent in reading of the Holy Quran, and then be like skillful in understanding of the Holy Quran, and also applying the teachings of the Holy Quran in your daily lives. So I'm very, very happy that again, alhamdulillah, I have some of our friends, some of the students of Xavier International School here with me. So we will again, as usual, ask them to introduce themselves. Then inshallah, we'll go on and start our today's session. So we start from Brother Hadi.
Salam, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hadi Naqavi. I'm from Pakistan. I am 11 years old.
Very good, very good. Again, we have Brother Hadi here, and it is very, very nice. So, Brother Mahdi, right?
My name is Mahdi Al-Husseinan. I'm from Canada and also Iraq, and I'm 11 years old.
Okay, 11 years old. Great, we have Mahdi again here. That's good. So, do we have Minhal Hussein today or no?
Yeah, salam. My name is Minhal Hussein Nasser. I'm from Pakistan, and I'm 11 and a half.
Oh, 11 and a half.
Yeah.
That half is very important.
Yeah.
Okay.
12, I'm
so
in my passport.
So, do we have Muhammad Yahya here or no? Or he is asleep?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Salam, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari from India, but I'm born in Qom. I'm 11 and a half years.
Oh, again. Okay, this year, this half is very, very important. So, hello, I'm Habibullah Fasihzada. I'm 23 and a half years old. Okay. So, alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure, okay, to meet again these friends. They are very nice, very good students, you know. I've never seen such intelligent students, okay? Really, believe me, okay? So, let me give you a short review or summary of our previous lesson. In the last session, as I remember, we talked about Qutbujat letters, right?
Al-Qalarul.
Yeah? Alhamdulillah, now, what we are going to do is, I want you to open the Quran that you have, okay? So, dear brothers and sisters, as you hear us, if you can get a Quran, okay, open it. Surah Al-Adiyat, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, the first ayah. Wal-Adiyat Dabha. Do we have any of those five letters? What harakat does it have?
Sakun.
It does not have any harakat. Sukun is not amongst those harakat.
Oh,
sukun means no harakat.
Yes,
not da harakat. Not yazda harakat, okay? No harakat. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
So, baba, ha. So, bouncing sound. Once again, listen to me. Wal adiyati baba, ha. You don't say baba, ha. Baba, ha. Baba, ha. Wrong. Wal adiyati baba, ha. Look. Dabaha, not Dabuha, Dabeha, Dabaha, Bano, Dab. When you read, okay, when you ask for help from Ba, okay, it helps Ba, so itself produces the sound, okay? Yeah. Not a complete A sound or A or A O sound. Dabaha.
It says it's Dab.
Yeah, Dabaha. You don't need to, for example, hit the ball on the floor, okay?
Dum.
To have a very high
Double.
Bounce, okay? Just it will itself automatically will react, okay? Will reflect. Understood? So everyone say, "Babaha,
babaha."
Again, Hadi.
Babaha.
Ahsan, Mahdi.
Babaha.
Ahsan, again.
Babaha.
Bab.
Yes, sir. I did it the first time.
Okay, the second time.
Babaha.
Babaha. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
I know how
good,
to read.
Good. So, min
dabha.
Again?
Dabha.
Ahsan.
Muhammad?
Wabha.
Dabha.
Wabha.
Ahsan. So, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, please pay attention to the word dabha. Dabha. Okay? The bomb must be producing a bouncing sound. The next ayah, can you find it? Where it is? Exactly, the letter.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So let's read it.
قدحا
قدحا
فالموريات قدحا
فالموريات قدحا
That's nice. Okay, قد قدحا Doll must be producing a bouncing sound.
قدحا
Okay, one by one. محمد يحيى
قدحا
أحسن من هل
قدحا
أحسن مهدي
قدحا
No. Reciting.
قدحا
قدحا Okay, good.
I don't understand why the
Nile
says
Again.
قدحا
أحسن
It's too much
So, positive. Yeah. Our listeners, okay? They are saying Oh, good. No, you made a mistake. Repeat it. Yeah, that was good. Look.
They have learned. قدحا
Yeah, they have learned, okay?
No.
قدحا
قدحا
أحسن ما شاء الله The third ayah والموريات صبحا
صبحا
No.
It's the bar
Yeah صاد So what is the letter which is ساكن
صبحا
Morning or afternoon
صبحا
Okay
صبحا
Yeah ba is ساكن right
Yes
صبحا
صبحا
No, subha.
Very, very easy.
Subha.
Do you know what subha means?
Subha.
Okay.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Morning,
yes.
Easy, because you said
easy.
It to them.
No, I know.
Yeah. الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
So let's get back to the
Quran.
So the next one, can you go for the next ayah? Can you find it? We are about to have all the letters. We are about to have all the letters.
In every ayah we have one, I think.
Yeah,
so.
In every ayah we have. Oh, this is a very good surah then. Okay, good. So,
but the wait, next ayah
also has a sakin.
So but in next ayah, next.
So let me recite this ayah. فأثرن به نقعا
فأثرن به نقعا
أحسن نقع 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 قاف It is like this, okay? I will tell you, inshallah, in the next sessions, okay? That some of the letters, okay? They have a very different attributes. You know attribute? Do you know attribute? For example, I say these students are very intelligent.
Oh, that's
this
uh-huh.
intelligent okay. is your attribute.
Laqab.
No. Huh? Sifat, we say. Okay? In grammar, we say adjective. But actually, it's attribute, okay? For example, we say Allah is kind. Kindness is the attribute of Allah Almighty.
Adjective.
Allah, Ar-Rahman. Rahman is the attribute of Allah Almighty. Al-Qadir, Al-Hay, okay? These are the attributes of Allah Almighty. So some of the letters, okay, they have like a very special attribute. Like they are, we have to pronounce them with a little, like we say, a bouncing, okay? Without being like sucking, okay? We have to produce some kind of sound with them. Look, we have two ways to produce the letters, okay? To pronounce the letters, okay? Either you open your mouth, okay, from left to right. Se, sin, sheen. Or you up and down, okay?
Back.
Like sod. Look, you can say sad. This is wrong. You can say kha.
No,
this is wrong.
Sad. That's sin. Sod.
Yeah.
Sod. You have to put your
mouth.
More of a duck.
Yeah. Your lips. Okay. Open. Up and down. Yes. Yes.
You have to
Not
make
left
your lips
to right.
Like
vertically. Okay. So sod.
Sod.
Horizontally. When you say sin.
Sin.
Some of the letters. So this is an attribute. All the letters are not like this, that when you pronounce them, okay, vertically, you have to open your mouth. Okay, there are... there are like eight letters, okay, that inshallah, we will study them one by one, okay?
This attribute.
So, Like off is one of them, okay? So now we should produce bouncing sound as well. We have to pronounce it in a very special way as well, like a bit higher, okay? With a high position, like what? Now off. We don't say kaf. Kaf is wrong. We have to say off. So the ayah becomes this way. فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقْعًا
فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقْعًا
أَثَرْنَا
فَأَثَرْنَا
بِهِ نَقْعًا
فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقْعًا
Okay, the example is on قَاف. Yes, قَاف is ساكن. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, look at the Quran. Verse 4 of Surah Al-Adiyat, page 599. Okay? Naqa. Naqa. Everyone say naqa.
Naqa.
Ahsan. So everyone say naqa.
Naqa.
Let's go for the next ayah. I think we have
it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, let's go. Good. Yeah. So let me recite. If I made mistake, fix the mistake. Okay? If I get it wrong, fix the mistake. Okay, Mahdi?
فَوَسَطْنَا
بِهِ
جَمْعًا
No,
وَسَطْنَا
Why?
The meme is not in قطب الجر.
Huh? Let me repeat it again.
فَوَسَطْنَا
بِهِ جَمْعًا
You didn't bounce there.
Yeah. Okay. What didn't I do?
Didn't bounce.
Well, so how do you bounce it?
No.
You just did the same as I did.
Can I?
Okay, Mahdi. Mahdi, read this ayah.
Okay, let's see. فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا
Okay, it was not very clear. It was good, but not very clear. Okay, Yahya?
فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا
Ahsan, that was clear. فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا Read it, Minhal, one time.
فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا
Again, mister.
فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ
جَمْعًا No. فَوَسَطْنَا You have
فوسط
to know
the
Okay. فوسط
نبي
Thank you so much. Inshallah, the next we will go to the next verses. Inshallah. Now let's recite everyone as-salawat. And before that, I really give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International School Network, especially the students of Sevier International School. Thank you so much. Let's recite a salawat. We will get back.
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagin.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verses 17 through 21 of Surah Shura or Ash-Shura, gives us some very important fundamental points for us to understand and take on board in our day-to-day lives, in our overall decision for life, in every decision we make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 17 says, Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitaba bil-haqqi wal-mizan. These are points that we think we know and we do know, but the reason why we're supposed to revisit these verses, read them again, is because there are aspects, there are dimensions of this that we neglect, we forget, we don't realize. Allah is the one that revealed the book with truth and with al-mizan, with the yardstick, with the scale, rather, the more accurate translation or the better equivalent for al-mizan is a scale. So there's a couple of points here. First, it starts with an emphasis, Allahu alladhi anzal al-kitab. Look, this book, God revealed it. It's not even the work of Jibreel. Jibreel is only a messenger. It's not his words. It's not from him. It's from Allah. The Prophet, he's a messenger. It's not his words. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God Almighty has sent this, has revealed this, has presented this to mankind. If that is repeated 50 times a day, it's still not enough for us to grasp this. Why do I say that? People look for various subjects in life. Business, for instance. Leadership, another one. Successful life. Mental health. So many different important things for us in our lives. We look for authors, this author, that author. Oh, this guy, he has a successful business. That guy, he owned a number of businesses. The other guy is a therapist. He has cured these many people, that many, and so on and so forth. And we get really interested. We go and buy a book that is twice the number of pages that the Holy Quran is. We read it. We tell everybody to read it. It has a lot of good points. God has revealed this. Did you look at the Quran to see what it has in regards to that topic? This isn't an instruction for mufassirin of the Quran. Anyone who does tafsir of the Quran, they go look and do research and try to understand and try to present. They're doing their thing for themselves. Every single one of us has got to go and look at the Quran, see what God's message is. That's in fact one of the most essential things that comes from this. God is the one that revealed this. Is God a more reliable source? Is God a more knowledgeable source? Or anyone else? Why is it that you refer to everyone else but not the Word of God? This is why we say repeating this. And then it's funny because people say, yeah, but, there's always a but, that this book is good, it's beneficial, this, that, the other. Some of the things are in the Quran. Brother, sister, you have not read the Quran. That's why you're saying that. Your judgment is one-sided. You never went to the Quran to ask those questions. Somebody told you, the author of the book that's making loads of money off that book by selling the idea to you with that catchy title, that I know the answers to these questions. God says, I know the answer to every question, and I'm giving you for free. So no, I don't want this. I want to go pay whatever amount of money. Allahu alladhi anzala. If you keep mentioning this aspect and repeating different examples of how we do not take this seriously, we will go nonstop for hours upon hours, and we will still not cover our shortcomings in referring to the Quran. Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitab. What does it have? Bilhaq. How much of the material any other author has written is true, accurate? Whether they deliberately didn't want to present the truth, or they tried to, but they're deficient. How much can a person know of the truth and present it? This book is bilhaq. Every letter of it is the truth, is accurate, beyond our comprehension. It's so accurate about so many different, important, fundamental, relative, pertinent matters that we are oblivious to, that we cannot even fathom most of the meanings of the Quran unless we try and read it over and over and over and over, as God has told us. And then this rusty old mind and heart of ours can open up to these realities, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enlighten us with the meanings in it. It's 100% true. 100% accurate. There's nothing in it that's not accurate. There's nothing in it that's not true. Find me another book. Okay. Sure, the Holy Quran tells us about the Prophet, مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. This man, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, he is not misled. So everything he does and everything he says is 100% accurate and true. However, do we have access to him directly? We have books that say these words were heard by people from the Prophet. We're not sure how much of that is accurate. We have to check the accuracy with the Quran. Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't miss word. But the person who heard him and later recorded it in writing, one little slight error, it's not 100%. The Quran anzal al-kitab bil-haq. What else? The other term, the truth, obviously, that already includes the next attribute that's mentioned here, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it, and that is being a scale. The Quran contains the scale by which you can evaluate things. You can evaluate thoughts. You can evaluate philosophies. You can evaluate theories. You can evaluate right and wrong and identify what is accurate, what is correct, what is true, what is beneficial, what is helpful, and what is not. That's what mizan is. Scale. A scale has got to be accurate. If you got a scale that's slightly off, then all your measurements are going to be slightly off, and that slightly every single measurement is going to add up to a whole lot of inaccuracy. One little slight error in the scale. This is al-haq. The scale is true. 100% accurate. The Quran is 100% accurate, and it's a scale. Based on this, you're supposed to judge everything. what to do, what not to do, what to believe, what not to believe, what direction to move towards, what direction not to move towards, what to value, what to disvalue, what not to value. The Quran contains all of this.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allah ya Allah subhanahu
Democracy of religion from Imam Khomeini's point of view. He had stated that in this government, the administrators of affairs must constantly consult with the representatives of the nation in decision making, and if the representatives disagree, they cannot decide alone. One of the efforts that plays a significant role in safeguarding democracy is creating awareness in people in relation to their duties and rights. If people are aware of their rights and duties vis-a-vis society and know that acting upon the political social duties from Islam's point of view with the intent to approximate to Allah and earn His consent is considered an act of worship, while it is a sin to be negligent of them, in that case they will not remain silent in relation to infringement their rights.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the search for Islam. In one of the speeches, Imam Khomeini has said that the important thing is that we feel certain in our hearts that we want our republic to be Islamic. Now, here, Imam Khomeini obviously is the leader of a movement, which is the Islamic Revolution, and he overthrown the kingdom of Raza Shah. We can see that the Islamic scholars are at the first row, who are leading the country, who are leading the people, this movement, especially Imam Khomeini himself. When they have taken the power, they're not just announcing that this will be an Islamic country, because obviously the movement was for Islam. But the important point is, in this part of speech, Imam Khomeini is saying that it is the public who wants it. It is the whole country who wants the Islamic state. It is the feeling
of the people. And the people are certain about their feeling in their hearts that they want this state to be an Islamic state. They want this state to be an Islamic Republic state. And that's why they named this state as the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.